We're going to look into the halachas of muktzah machmas mius. We've been talking about this concept the last few weeks, the concept specifically through the Gemara that we looked at in Shabbos, that there's a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, about an old lamp. Remember this, an old lamp doesn't mean, you know, an heirloom. It doesn't mean that it's broken. It doesn't mean that it's got cobwebs. It means you use it. It means you use it, and therefore there's oil, there's wax, there's schmutz. It's schmutz. It's disgusting. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said that there is an instance of saying that that's going to be us. Now that happens to be not such a big chiddush for Rabbi Yehuda. The chiddush for Rabbi Yehuda is that before you ever used it, it could be mutter. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. But once you use it, so then it resorts to becoming, it defaults into Rabbi Yehuda's normal opinion, which is that it's usser. The question is why it's usser. Could be because of a concept called muktzah machmas mius. That could be the reason why. However, we saw that also Rabbi Shimon has what to say in that Gemara. Rabbi Shimon says in that Gemara that that is never usser. Now, what? That's not true. There's only one time that it's usser, right? That's b'shas shehudolek, the time that the candle is on. But it's not because of muktzah. The reason Rabbi Shimon says that that's a problem is because shema yimshoch acharaner, you're going to be drawn after the light, you're going to tilt it, you're going to put it out, you're going to extinguish it, fine. By the end of the Gemara, it doesn't seem like there's ever any callback to the concept of muktzah machmas mius. It never comes back to the topic of the Mishnah. It sort of references the same sort of situation of the lamp that was used, etc. But it never goes back to the concept of muktzah machmas mius, which seems to be at the heart of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The implication being that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of such a concept. Rabbi Shimon doesn't really believe that there's ever a problem with muktzah machmas mius. Now, it's hard to prove an opinion from a negative. He just doesn't say it here. Does that mean he never says it? So the truth is that there is another Gemara that we didn't look at together. But I'm going to skip to the Shulchan Aruch here and show you why it may or may not be the case that we hold of this concept. So we're going to be in Shin Ches. I gave you all Mishnah Berurahs for those who want them. So Shin Ches, page 218, if you look at the top, I think. Is it 218 in yours? Yeah. Okay, sorry, did I say Lamed Hay? Shin Ches Lamed Hay. 308. 308 is our trusted Muktzah Gemara, our Muktzah Simon. 308. If there's one thing you should learn from this class, it's that Muktzah is found on 308. Muktzah is Simon 308. Chapter 308 in the Shulchan Aruch. So, what does it say? Let's actually start with Lamed Dalet. Kol Davar Mitunaf. Called davar mitunaf, anything which is dirty, disgusting. Kagon re'i v'ki v'tzoa. I'll spare you. It's yeah, good. It's referring to any kind of excrement. I actually don't know the difference between re'i and tzoa. Re'i is also excrement, and tzoa is excrement. So I don't know. Maybe one is dog and one is man. I don't know. Either way, we're talking about excrement. Bein shaladim, bein shaltarnagolim v'chios b'hem, whether it's from a person or it's from an animal. Im hayu b'chatzer sheyoshvim b'hem, if it's in the place where you're sitting, so then that's disgusting. So then mutzer lo tziyam la'ashba, you're allowed to take it out. Why? Shabbos. Your own Shabbos. It's your covered abrius. Oh, this akitzev avil b'lo kli, even without a utensil. I would not recommend that, but the point is you can touch it directly. And that's how lenient we are about you being allowed to touch it. As we talked about a little bit, we touched on it, we haven't really talked about it, but so the more muktzah something is, the less you're able to touch directly. The more indirect you have to move it away. So here we're saying you could even touch it with your hands. It's probably the one instance where we actually want to touch it indirectly, not directly. But the point is that you're allowed to move it. V'im hayu b'chatzer she'enu darsham. But if it's in a courtyard where nobody lives, so then asur lo tziyam. Asur lo tziyam, why? Why would you think of asur lo tziyam? Why is it forbidden to take them out? It's not useful. Meaning, what's the real reason this is asur?
You need a place. You need the place that it's in to be clean and not smelly.
That's why you'd be allowed to.
Right,
why would you not be allowed to if it's in a courtyard where nobody lives?
There's no reason.
Under what category of muktzah would that fall? that would probably be the first category, mukta mamash gufo, or mukta mamash, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. It's like a stone. It's completely useless. Nobody is ever going to use that thing. So that's why it's not because this is the concept of mukta mamash mius. It's not because it's particularly disgusting, and that's why you don't touch it. It's because it's useless. Because in the previous statement, when it was something that you wanted to move, you're willing to move it. Right? So it is useful in terms of what the space is taking up. However, if you're worried that maybe somebody's going to come over there, especially a child who doesn't know any better, and is going to get dirty over there, so then if you're really worried, so cover it with something. That sounds like a weird statement. Why would I ever think you can't? Why does the Shulchan Aruch tell me, oh, by the way, if you want to take a bowl and put it somewhere, you're allowed to. Okay, I can always do that. I think the idea is that here, you're mevata chli mehechana, which is a separate concept. I'm not really sure it's in the muksa concept, but literally the words are translated mevatel chli. You are nullifying a chli, a vessel, mehechano, from its prepared use. That bowl was sitting in your pantry for the sake of soup, or for the sake of salad, or whatever. And now you're taking it and using it as a poop cover. Right? That's not what you're using it. That's not what it's meant to be used for. And once you use it for that, you can't use it for anything else. So that's what it's talking about here, presumably. Okay.
But
yeah.
If you're allowed to move it from a place where you're definitely going to use it, if you're that concerned that this child is going to come get dirty in it, even though it's in an...
Oh, so if it's a real time, if it's a real place where the child goes, that's the difference. I think that would be more relevant for the first statement.
Right.
I think here we're talking about like a courtyard where like we're not expecting the kid to go, but we're worried the kids play around, sometimes they go places they're not supposed to go, and that's what we're talking about. If it's like in a place where your kid goes and plays, so then you can move it. So that's Lamed Dalet, and we'll come back to some of that. Hold on. Yeah, let's look at Kuf Lamed Dalet in the Mishnah Berurah at the bottom. Kuf Lamed Dalet 134. Right, it's in the middle of the wide lines on the bottom. You see it? Kuf Lamed Dalet. It's in parentheses there, at least in mine. It's Kuf Lamed Dalet in parentheses. Rain use is probably the hardest to find it because it's not bolded. Aser Lahotziyam. You're not allowed to take it out. This is referring to the feces that are in the courtyard. You're not allowed to take them out. Why? It's not muksa because it's disgusting. It's muksa because it's useless. Lo chazilimidi. You can't use it for anything. It's just like etzim v'avanim. Just like stones, just like sticks, just like dirt. It's useless, and that's why it's usher. Nothing to do with the fact that it's disgusting. And then comes the Mishnah Berurah with a big chiddush. This is a big chiddush. And I'm not really sure how to apply it, although I've seen people write about it. V'hu hadin hagraf v'avit b'lo re'i u'mei raglayim gam ken aser. Anyone know what the graf means?
To rake out.
Oh, you're talking about gerufa uketuma by the mitzvah or the iser of raking the coals.
Yeah.
So that's about the coals underneath an oven that we're worried even if you keep the food there and there's no fire, you're still going to move around the coals in fear of them, you know, cooling down and your food getting, or your food not getting cooked properly, whatever. So that's the word gruf. I'm not sure if they're connected or not. They might be connected because the word graf.
Really
right. That's good. Graf here means a pan. It's possible that Gerufa is connected to a pan or using a pan to shuffle around the coals, but I'm not sure. So graf here is referring to a pan. This is literally like a potty. I say that because nowadays we use toilets, but for little kids they have these thing called potties. It's like a bedpan type of thing. We used to take them on road trips. Maybe we still will. If the little kid is potty trained, we don't want them to, you'll revert back to going in their diaper. But at the same time, you know, you're not going to stop at a rest stop because they're not going to use an actual toilet. So you bring a potty along, and then you go in that, and then you take care of whatever. The point is that kind of thing is designated for excrement. That's the entirety of its use is for excrement. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, the same thing is true when it comes to a potty which is designated as a place for excrement. You're not allowed to move it. Now, why aren't you allowed to move it? Why can't you move a potty? There's nothing in it. He says here, even if there's nothing in it. So first he says, Kevan Shumakam She'en Darsham. Because nobody's living there. Meaning, what he's talking about, the context is still where it's in the other courtyard, where nobody's living. The implication is that you would be able to move it otherwise. I was thinking that maybe it could also be a problem of klisha malachta l'isser. Meaning, like a hammer, but in a different way. This is something which is designated for an isser or a something which is completely mukta. That's not usually...
Right.
Yeah, but that would imply that you would be allowed to move it if necessary, if you need it for something else.
Like,
but then he says, what?
Like if you need it to play.
Yeah, exactly. So then he says here, v'im hu male, try to hold yourselves back here,
okay.
And if it's full, if the potty is full, v'ef shali panos halav, and you're therefore not able to go to the bathroom on it, Mutter lehotzio lahachzir mishum kavod abrias. Then you're allowed to move it, even with the stuff in it. Because people gotta go, they gotta go. Where are they gonna go? They're gonna go to the potty. So to help people, we'll allow you to move it. So what you find here is that even though this thing is really disgusting, if you need to, you can move it. Which is why I told you last week that there is this concept of mukta machmasnias. It exists, but it's only in theory. Because almost every time you'll ever find something which is disgusting that would fit within the category of mukta machmas mias, it's either useful or useless. And even if it was useful and really, really disgusting, so we'd be allowed to wash it off or to clean it off if somebody needs it. Right? And if it's disgusting and useless, you could even move it then if it's in your way or if it's disgusting for your environment. So there's almost really no example of a mukta machmas mias independently where you're not allowed to move it. There are other reasons, we'll see soon. But let's keep going here in the Mishnah Berurah.
Does that apply to the lamb as well?
Say again?
Does that apply to the lamb also?
The lamb? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's allowed to move all the time. As long as it's not being lit right now. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to move it even if it's disgusting, even if it's old. Yeah, that's the implication of the Mishnah we did. Okay, let's look at Lamed Hay in the back up top on the Shulchan Aruch. Afalpi shemutar lehotzi graf shari v'avit shomer glayim. Even though we said you are allowed to move away graf shel ri'i. Anybody? A pan of excrement. Graf shel ri'i. The avit shel meruglayim, which is sort of like a chamber pot of urine. Asur lahachziram, you are not allowed to bring them back. Ela imkein natan letocham mayim. The only time you're allowed to bring them back after cleaning them out is if there's water inside of it. Why'd that be? I'm not sure if that's what it's saying. Because there's rinsing out, so you rinse it out. You don't have to keep the water in, you just pour out the water. So if I were to say to you, if I were to bring to you a potty, and I said to you, hey, do you want this on Shabbos? You'd say,
thanks.
No. Why would you say no thanks? Because you don't use potties, right? You're a grown person, use toilets. So what does that mean about the body? Presumably what that means is, it's useless to you. But what happens if you put water in it? I'm not talking about you. And that's going to sound disgusting. But what happens when you put water in it? So then that water... What?
You might need water.
Okay, you might need the water for what? Maybe you'll need the water for an animal. So putting the water inside makes it makes it useful in a theoretical sense. It might not be useful right now in a practical sense, but in a theoretical sense, it makes it useful. So that's what he's saying here. Let's look in the Mishnah Berurah. In Lamed Hay. Lahotzi graf v'chulei. It's on the bottom. Kuf Lamed Vav. We see it there. Towards the end of the line. Everyone there? Yeah? Lahotzi graf v'chulei. Graf v'avit shneim shel cheres. Here we're talking about when they're made of earthenware vessels. Ela shel ri'i nikra graf v'shel me'er lam nikra avit. It's just that... In these cases, that's what we're talking about then. Right, these are specific for these kind of things. V'hu adin im hu shel eitz. The same thing would be true if it was for wood, if it was wooden. V'ayin le'elotim pe'zayim le'inan im hu shel matechas. If it's metal, so then it's a different story. If it's metal, that it is very cleanable, and therefore, it's not considered disgusting, and something you don't want to use. The Chazanish, however, says, you could even move the metal thing even before it's cleaned. Because since it's able to be cleaned, it's considered like a kli, even if it's dirty. As opposed to the other ones, they're just considered like excrement. Meaning if you have a potty which is full of excrement, nobody's using that. And because it's made of earthenware, or because it's made of wood, you're not really going to clean it that well, and therefore it's basically done for the day. Right? People aren't going to want. But if it's metal, then people look at that as something that can clean easily. The same would be true by plastic, which is most bodies today. They clean easily, and therefore there are leniencies to use it because it's still useful, right? Even if it has something disgusting on it. The reason why the disgustingness of the other material, of the earthenware or the wood utensil potties, the reason that its disgustingness disqualifies it is not because of the actual excrement, it's because you're not going to use it anymore. It's useless now because you're not going to clean it and you can't clean it. That's what it's saying. Although I can imagine somebody saying, well, maybe this is the one time it's so disgusting that it's usher because it's how disgusting it is. Yeah, Rabbi Yashar says the same thing about plastic, that it's cleanable, so it's fine. Okay. So then let's keep reading in the Mishnah Berurah, if we can here. V'hine gav ha'zayin, d'mayis harbei. Look at this fascinating line. Af al pi shehu kli, v'hine graf avit af al pi shehu kli, even though it's a utensil, mikol makom hu b'chlal mukta machmas gufo. Why is it mukta machmas gufo? Mishum to mice. Right? So it's almost like I don't know if people are familiar with the philosophical concept of the true Scotsman paradox. You ever heard of the true Scotsman paradox? It's basically, you know, what does it mean to be a true Scotsman? So basically, it's anything that's not a true Scotsman, you'll just say, no, that's not a true Scotsman. And any person who thinks that they're a true Scotsman, but you don't want them to be, you'll just say, oh, that's not what it means to be a true Scotsman. It's a never-ending definition. So here, it's not that it's mutz machmas mios, it's that because it's mios, it becomes mutz machmas gufo. So, for all intents and purposes, it's the same thing. But my point is that this is not a separate category. Right? Once something is disgusting, it therefore becomes useless. And once it's useless, so Rabbi Shimon even says you can't use it. But according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no such thing as mukta machmas mios. There's no such thing as something being mukta just because it's disgusting. Because if something is disgusting but you still want to use it, it's not usher, it's not mukta. But once something is disgusting to the extent that you're considering it useless, so then it's mukta machmas gufo. It's like sticks and stones at that point. But it's not, The point is not because it's disgusting. The point is because it's useless. So that's just the fascinating way that the Mishnah said it. Bichlal mutza machmas gufo mishum dema'is harbe. It's within the category of useless items because it's disgusting. But it's not mukta because it's disgusting. It's mukta because it's useless. V'chamer mistam mukta machmas mios dekaimo embereish simen shin yud demutter degraf hu ke'evin domain, says the Mishnah Berurah that this is very different than mukta machmas mios. This is not mukta machmas mios. Because mukta machmas mios, we say at the beginning of shin yud, that's probably why I kept thinking shin yud before, yeah, if you look at Shin Yud, flip, I don't know how many pages it's going to be for you. One, two, maybe three. Yeah. You get the three pages, you get the Shin Yud. You hold the place by Shin Ches. You have it? 224 at the top, yeah. Eight Shetolim Bo Dagim. A twig on which you hang fish. It's a stick, but it's like a hook. It's not like a tree. It's a stick. If you was a tree, you wouldn't be able to use it anyway. It's like a hook of some kind, and you hang fish on it. Af al pi shehu maus, even though it's disgusting, musla tasala. Look at the next line. Dekai Malan, because we paskin, we follow the opinion. For mukta machmas mios, when it comes to mukta because of something disgusting, Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Shimon, de, what's the next word? Sherry. What does Sherry mean?
Allowed.
It's allowed. We paskin, mukta machmas mios, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that it's allowed. That's the implication we saw from Mark Amar last week. Mukta machmas mios, according to Rabbi Shimon, does not exist. That doesn't mean that something that's disgusting can't be mitzvah. That's what we're seeing now. Yeah, hold on, give me 1 second. Just looking at the deer shoe, if there's anything else right here. Ah, and then the deer shoe says, yeah, but there are some disgusting things that are mitzvah. And he says, go look it over here, what we're looking at now at Shin Ches. Okay, so back to Shin Ches, back to what we were looking at before. We've got this disgusting potty. The grafu ke'evin v'domein, because the pan is like a stone and similar things like stone. V'rak lehotziyam v'makum shadar sham hitiru mishim kvodo. And only things which are because of sort of respect of other people who are around, so that's why you'd be allowed to move it. Aval lehachziran, to bring it back, tzarech mayim, then you need water, te'az metatzalan ha'idei mayim. Because then you can only use it when there's water in it, because otherwise it would be useless. Right? Because the only reason you took it away was not because you needed it somewhere, it's because people didn't want it there. And the Kuf Lamed of Zion here is talking about putting water. Eliam Cain, Kasma Gnaram Diva Odo Biyado Mutalasir Afalomayim. Ooh, that's interesting. That's interesting. We have not talked about this yet. It should be sort of added to our list here. Different forms of mukta have different leniencies about how to handle them. Meaning, even if something's mukta machmas chisaron kis, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll treat it the same way as mukta machmas gufo. Or if something's a klisha matal iser, that doesn't mean you treat it the same way as a mukta machmas chisaron kis. So one of the differences is, if you picked up a mukta machmas gufo, if you picked up a stone, then what do you do? You gotta get rid of it as soon as possible. If you picked up a hammer, what do you gotta do?
Okay.
Put it wherever you want. You can carry it. Once it's in your hand, you can carry it wherever you want. So if you remember, I quoted a story about a Rebbe of mine who picked up a phone on Shabbos. Remember this story? It was a phone was in the middle of the dining room. And he goes over the phone and picks it up. He picked it up, and then he said to all of us, once I have it, I can move wherever I want. And later I learned that might not be the case. It depends on the phone, because the mukta machmas chiseron kis, as we saw, is tantamount to a mukta machmas gufo. Something which is expensive and dear and precious is just as mukta as a stone. And therefore, if we're going to say it's like a stone, you've got to put it down as soon as possible. If, however, you categorize it as a mukta, as a kli shemalachal iser, a phone is used for electricity, but it's still a kli, it's a utensil, so then you'd be allowed to move wherever you want. So here also, this is not focus. If you read this Mishnah Berurah again, it's four lines up. Once you've got the potty in your hands, mutter lahachter af lomayim. You're allowed to bring it back even without water. But wait a second. We just said it was a mukta machmas gufo. It's like sticks and stones, which means you should drop it right away. Comes Mishnah Berurah and says, the ayin ve'elya rabba uveprima gaidim shemefak v'kim v'zeh. They are mefakfik. They go back and forth about this. They don't know if that's true. Yes, the Chazon Ish says the only time you really should put water in it. And he says it's a separate takana, it's not really part of a muktzah discussion, it's a separate thing. If you look at the next Mishnah Berurah, they'll talk about why do you have to put water in it? V'davka k'sheim re'uyim anayim l'shtiyas behema. As long as an animal can still drink from it. V'im lochein, af hamayim grafhein. If there's no animal, no person can eat it, right? No person can drink from that. V'hinei m'disasam shulchan aruch mashba. From the fact that the Shulchan Aruch was satam. What does satam mean? Stam. What does stam mean? You're talking about stumen. That's a different word. I mean, it's the same letters, but a different word. Stam means, like, that's how people use it colloquially. Stam, new, right? But stam literally means unattributed. It's just, it's paris. Right, stam means it doesn't have any classification or definition or greater clarity or description. So here, midisasam hashulchan aruch, mashma da'afilu ein tzarach lehotzi bo tzoa umei reglayim shari lachzir al yamayim. Even if, meaning the shulchan aruch does not define the situation, do you need to bring the potty back in order for someone to go to the bathroom? Or is it even for no reason? You just want to put it somewhere else. So because of that lack of definition, says the Mishnah Berurah, it would seem that even if you don't need the potty for somebody else or something else, nonetheless, you're still allowed to bring it back as long as you put water in it. That's what it means here when it says, Ein tzarech lehotzi boto umeraglayim shari lach zero ayde mayim. You're still allowed to. V'yesh machmir mizeh, k'mon shekasu beit Yosef. That if this is a place where you're ever, you're kind of, you know, clear it out, put it somewhere else, that it's a protected place. Makom, what's that word you use? Shehish tamer. Makom hamish tamer. What does it mean, hamish tamer? Like it is guarded. Mish tamer means reflexive. It is guarded. Meaning, if the place that you take, right, so there are people around, and it's disgusting to have a potty sitting right there, so you picked it up and you put it somewhere else, out of Kavod HaBrius. So when we're saying, if you want to ever bring it back after the people leave or something like that, so then you have to bring it back with water. Says the Eli Rabbah, wait a second. If where you brought it to is fine, there's nothing wrong with where you brought it, then don't bring it back. What, just for decoration? Just for kicks, you're going to put it back where it was? Wait till after Shabbos. Meaning if you don't have to touch this thing, you should not touch it. Because again, it has the status of an even etzem ba'avanim. Right? It has the status of completely uselessness.
But if a child is using it.
Also, then it's useful. Yeah, then it's useful. It's a separate thing. For sure that's a separate thing. It's a separate situation. Here, nobody's using it. Nobody needs it. Nobody needs to put it back where it is. Says Eli Rabba, you should avoid moving it if you can. Because it's completely useless. If you have to move it, so then you have to put water in it. Okay, let's say, you really don't like this, you do not like this stone in the middle of your courtyard. It's an ugly stone. You wish it wasn't there. It's in the way. Well, yeah, it's in the way.
You're not worried someone's going to trip over it.
No, it's not dangerous or anything like that. That'd be a good question. But you just, it doesn't, it's unseemly. It's an ugly rock. I'm trying to think. Meaning, it's us. You're not going to move it because it's a rock. It's not a cliche rock. So you're not going to move it. So you have a good chap. You use your Yiddish cup and you say, what is a way that I can get this rock off out of this place?
Can you kick it?
Maybe. Maybe. Not ideal. Maybe we'll get to that. But you got a good chap. You've got a dog that has to go to the bathroom. I'm going to bring the dog to the rock, and the dog's going to defecate on the stone, and then it's a graf shel ra'i. Then it's disgusting, and then I'm allowed to move it. That's a Yiddish cup way of thinking, right? That's how you get yourself out of a bind. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to create a graf shel ra'i? You don't like it, can you make it disgusting in order to move it? So it says the Shulchan Aruch in Lamed Vav on top here, on the bottom line of the top section, Ein osim graf shel ra'i l'chatchila. You are not allowed to preemptively make something disgusting so that you can move it. Dehainu lahavi davar she'asad l'mayis kedei lahosiyo. Right, you take something which is ultimately going to be disgusting in order to bring it out, l'chashayimayis, so that it becomes, when it becomes disgusting. Vim avarvas. Oh, but if you did it against what we're telling you not to, right? You're telling not to do it, but if you did it, so yeah, I guess once it's disgusting, you're allowed to move it. Whoops. Dog pooped on the stone, I hate. Right? So then you'd be allowed to move it. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, there's not really a Mishnah Berurah before that, right? Kedei lo tiyo. Bagamara mashma da filim lo asik de lo tiyo, ela davar hasu lo vasofo lo tiyo, gamkin asu. Even if that wasn't your ultimate intention that it should be moved, but rather you still did it on purpose, you can do it. But you shouldn't do it. She'av she'hi tiyo lo tiyo davar hamaos, mikomakom lasos lo chachila davar shiyo bevale achrag masof hanaviyot tiyo nasu. Even though you weren't necessarily intending for it to be maos, something which is understood that it's going to become maos, it's going to become disgusting, so you're not allowed to do that. All right. Let me just see here, before we talk about a relevant example of this. All right. There's some interesting examples he brings here, not for us, though. Yeah. So this is how it comes up. Almost every yantif. Are you allowed to move your garbage cans? Are you allowed to move your garbage cans? Let's say it's garbage day on the second day of yantif. Can you take your garbage cans out on Yantif? Also, if you can do it before Yantif, that's the best. That's the best. But let's say you took them out before Yantif. They're picked up late in the day, so late that you couldn't get them from Yantif. Now Yantif's going to be 2 days. To leave your garbage can there,
can you bring it back?
So that's a real question. That's a real question based on these halachas. If there's actual garbage in it, you need to get it out of your house, you can bring it out to the garbage can. Right? If the garbage can's out in front, you can bring your garbage from the kitchen, bring it to the garbage can because you don't want that garbage sitting around your kitchen. That's disgusting. But let's say the garbage can is empty. Now what?
The garbage can's in front of your house.
Yeah, just like the potty, which is now empty. We said in order to bring the potty back,
you
got to put water in it. So who's going to put water in the garbage can? How are you going to put water in a garbage can? So that's an interesting question. And I'm not sure that it's very much to do it. Because then it becomes really muksa machmas gufo. You do not need that garbage can for anything. You could bring the garbage bag to the can and put the garbage bag in the can because you're still in the middle of getting rid of that garbage. But now, that's considered like a chaser shel acher. That's considered a courtyard that doesn't matter to you, right? No one's sitting around that garbage can. That garbage can's not in anybody's way. It's not smelling up anybody's, hopefully anybody's yard. So then there's no reason to move it. So that's a real shaila, and you probably shouldn't do anything. You should just leave it there, hope for the best. And trust me, at least the way where we live here, nobody's going to, everybody's garbage cans are out, right? Nobody's really touching it. Oh, so this is a good question. I know that in Southfield and in Oak Park, the Orthodox people on the board, or the whatever it's called,
the council,
so they actually make the municipality aware of the situation, and they give leeway on both ends to put them out a little early, to take them off late. I don't know about Huntington Woods. The question would be, is there any leniency to bring it back? The only thing that I can think of, and this I've told people, I remember telling this to people, the only thing that I can think of is that you have it in mind from before Shabbos that you're going to be bringing it back. Just like if you wanted to use a stone on Shabbos, you could designate it from before Shabbos. Say, this is my Shabbos stone. Even though stones are completely usher, they're completely useless. Nonetheless, you can deliberately prepare it, designate it for use. So in the same way, you could say, I'm deliberately saying I'm going to use this garbage can. What are you using it for? It's a different story. But best would mean you have to touch it. But if you have to, hunting away, you're going to get a ticket or something like that. So then I think that would be allowed. The other option is perhaps to kick it along. And I saw someone ask a question once, like, sometimes we have these windy days, and the garbage can is going into the street, it's going into the neighbor's yard or whatever. So that's another situation where you probably have to kick it, especially if it's dangerous, yeah. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that you would not have designated it from before Shabbos, because you didn't expect it to blow into the street. So then you got to kick it, and you got to get somebody strong. Those things are big. These are the biggest garbage cans I've ever had. Yeah. Kansas and Baltimore and Riverdale didn't even have a garbage can. I live in an apartment building. So we actually had an incinerator. It's a separate Shabbos shiloh. But either way, so you have to be careful. That is meaning we were looking at this, oh, who's got a potty anymore? But the truth is, it's very relevant. Very relevant if you have garbage cans. So in the end of the day, mukta machmas mios can become mukta machmas gufo. It can be just as mukta as sticks and stones. At the same time, there is greater leniency to it because if it's disgusting as opposed to stick and stone, which is just useless and never disgusting, potty or other disgusting things are so disgusting you'd be allowed to move them. Right? There's a leniency the rabbis give you out of kavod abrios that you'd be allowed to move them away from where you are. But when you do that, you have to realize that they are now completely useless. Once they're no longer useful to move, you're not allowed to move them at all. But then you have these...
Can you ask a child to move
them? I personally am not a fan of doing that. You don't want to train children to do the wrong things.
If they're underage, and, then you get to tell them...
Only if there's some kind of extenuating circumstance, you'd have to do that. You know, the Pasuk tells us, we say it during Kiddush, that you should keep Shabbos, and your animals should keep Shabbos, and your child should keep Shabbos. What do you mean your child should keep Shabbos? They're not bar mitzvah yet. It means that you shouldn't tell them to violate Shabbos. Right? That's what it means. The people in your household, whether they're bar mitzvah or not, should not be violating Shabbos. More specifically, they shouldn't be violating Shabbos on your behalf.
Right.
I think, an overlooked aspect of keeping Shabbos. Just because you're not bar mitzvah doesn't mean you can violate Shabbos. Just like your animal can't, your child can't either. Your animal's not chayv mitzvah, right? So you have to be careful. That's a modern day application, the garbage can application about this. There's also an aspect of buses, which we haven't talked about yet, but it's basically the same thing. And it comes back to the same points. So in the end of the day, is there a concept of mukta machmas mios? Theoretically there is. Practically there's no such thing. There's only mukta machmas gufo, and how disgusting something might be dictates whether it's in that category or not. Sometimes it gets in and then goes past it to the extent that it's so disgusting you can move it because it's, you know, it's so disgusting. But if it's disgusting to the extent where it's not bothering anybody, so then it just goes into the category of mukta machmas gufo, like sticks and stones, and that's why it's mukta. But otherwise, it's not a problem. Okay. I don't know what we'll get to next. But you guys.